Going to turn this evening in the Word of the Lord to the third epistle of John. The third epistle of John. And of course, it's the chapter one. There's only one chapter in this particular epistle. And we'll take time this evening to read down this epistle. It's only a short, brief epistle of 14 verses, but there is much found here. And we'll commence at the verse 1 and we'll read down to the end of the verse 14. The word of the Lord says in verse number 1, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, plotting against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that come, that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write them unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. We shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Amen. Ending there at the end of that epistle, the verse number 14, knowing the Lord will bless it to us for his name's sake. There are a number of Bible characters set out before us in this particular chapter. There are three that are mentioned by name. We have Gaius, we have Diotrephes, and we have a man by the name of Demetrius. There are many Bible characters, and we, as the people of God, can study these characters. We can learn from their lives, not only from the mistakes that they made, but also from the good things that they did, actions that testify to God's grace and God's help and God's power in their lives. Hebrews 11 being a great example of that, where many, many Bible characters are led out for us, and we can read of men of faith and we can learn from their lives. And here in 3 John, these three characters are mentioned. There is much here that we can learn. We could consider each one individually, but we're not going to do that this evening. We're going to consider just one. And this man is found in the verse number 9. And the report is given concerning him and what John thought of him. It was A.W. Tozer who said the Bible characters fall into four classes. Those who are great, but not good. Those who are good, but not great. those who are neither good nor great, and those who are both great and good. And Diotrephes was neither great nor good. We see that clearly in what we have read this evening. He was a man who loveth to have the preeminence among men. Verse 9. And John says, receiveth us not. We're not certain to his actual position in the church. We can certainly assume that he was some sort of an office bearer, perhaps a minister, maybe an elder. He is the opposite of the other men mentioned in this passage, especially Gaius. Consider what it says about Gaius, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He was the man who loved the truth of God. He was the man who sought to walk in the truth of God, living his life according to what the Lord taught. We come to verse 9, and we have the opposite. A man who is not an example to us, but a man who ought to be a warning. And across the Church of Christ, there are those who are just like Diotrephes. There are those like Gaius, there are those like Demetrius. Certainly many like these men, but time and time again we can sometimes come across one who is like Diotrephes, one who wants the preeminence himself, one who causes problems in the church for his own needs, his own ends. I want us to consider Diotrephes simply tonight, and I want you to notice the arrogance that he displayed. The arrogance that he displayed. This particular man had ambition. And it is not wrong to have ambitions in life. We can all have ambitions. And it is not wrong to strive towards such ambitions, provided that those ambitions are for the glory of God, which is our chief aim and our purpose in life. All we do should be with that thought in view, the glory of God. It was the Apostle Paul who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 31, he brings to our attention the importance of doing things for the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All we should do as believers should be with God's glory in view. And there are times when we may not know what action to take. There may be paths before us. And that verse is a simple guide to us. Can we go down a certain path to the glory of God? Can we engage in a particular action for God's glory? A verse that can keep a check on us. A verse that can help us to avoid particular sins that can come across our way. We cannot sin to the glory of God. We cannot engage in that which is wrong and say we're doing it for the glory of God, because we can't. But all we should do should be geared toward the glory of God, and if we do that, what we will do will be that which is right. And Gaius here and Demetrius, they acted in such a way for the glory of God, but Diotrephes was not a man who was concerned with the glory of God. He was a man concerned with his own glory. He wanted the preeminence in the church. Verse 9 is clear. Who loveth to have the preeminence among them. And Diotrephes is perhaps a name that many of us may not know. We may recognize it. There may be those across the world in the Church of Christ who can recognise the name Diotrephes, and perhaps he is known primarily as one who wanted the preeminence, one who wanted to be first, one who wanted to be top, to be the leader in all things. The Greek word here for preeminence is philoproteo. There's two words contained in that term. That can be recognized. There's connections in the English. There's the Greek word for love and the word for first, from which we get the English word prototype. And diotrephes is the Greek word, emphasizes that he aspired to be first. He wanted to be first. He wanted the distinction of being first. He was fond of being first. It is not wrong to desire to be the best that we can be. As believers, we ought to desire to be the best that we can be for the Lord, to do all things to the glory of God, to the best of our ability. But if it comes to the point where we want to be above others, we want all the leadership to ourselves, we want all the power to ourselves, we want all the authority to ourselves, then it is not for the glory of God. We can have races, we can have competitions in life that we can engage in. And there's no harm in training and desiring to win a particular race. Of course, if you train hard for a race and you come last and your attitude isn't too good and you're a bad loser, well, that wouldn't be right. But training hard, trying to be the best, doing the best you can, there's nothing wrong in that, provided it is for the right reasons. But here, Diotrephes was a man who wanted to be first. He loved to be first. He had that ego, he had that priority just for himself. It was Gaius. In the opening verses of this epistle, Gaius was a man who had this great testimony, but he aimed to further the work of God. He aimed to further the work of God. Many testified of him, about him walking in the truth. Many, verse 6, bear witness. They bore witness of the charity that he had. He helped those who were in need, those who were passing through. He aimed to further the work of God, but Diotrephes was one who aimed to further himself. He aimed to further himself. That is what those terms mean, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. He wanted the preeminence. It was Matthew Henry who said, and applying this to the ministers of the gospel, it is an ill, unbeseeming character of Christ's ministers to love preeminence, to affect presidency in the church of God. And what he is saying is, what is being brought here, that it is wrong to seek to be first. It is wrong to want this preeminence. And the problem that we can say is that Diotrephes had was arrogance or pride. In Proverbs chapter 16, the verse 18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23 again says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honour shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. And pride is something that is absolutely dangerous in our lives. The Lord, or 1 John 2 verse 16, John says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And pride leads to problems. Pride puts us up on a pedestal above others and will lead to problems in our interaction with the body of Christ. We, as believers, should flee from pride and aim to be the true humble spirits of the Lord. Pride is something that must always be kept in check, something that we should pray over. Because pride can ruin. Pride can ruin our interactions with others in the Church of Christ. It can cause problems. In regard to those who serve the Lord, pride again can cause problems. And this man, certainly he loved to have the preeminence, and pride is associated with that. He wanted the preeminence himself. He loved to have it. He loved to be seen to be the best. But those who truly love the Lord, those who are like Gaius, those who are the opposite to Diotrephes, they can have positions of power. They can have the leadership in the church. There are those who do have leadership in the work of God, and their godly walk, their conversation, their actions, their talents, the testimony that they have, the desire for the work of God, God's blessing upon them, are reasons why they can be put into those positions of leadership. But such men who are godly do not seek such things, and shouldn't seek such things. He was a man who sought such things, and he is condemned by the apostle. Certainly, in the church of God, those who were the servants of the Lord should not seek the preeminence. They may be put into positions of leadership, not only in the church, but in secular employment, in the day-to-day activities that we engage in. But there's a commentator who said that such men, godly men, generally do not seek influence. It is unavoidable. It follows them as their shadow. It's something that is appointed by God. But here this great warning goes out. This was a man who was arrogant, a man who was full of pride, who wanted the preeminence. Notice here, secondly, the attacks that he delivered. The attacks that he delivered. Not only did he desire to be number one, but he engaged in actions that slandered other saints of God. Actions that tried to push the others down while raising himself up. In verse 10 we see some of his deeds. Wherefore if I come I will remember his deeds which he doeth. And John is saying when he comes he'll remember what has taken place and what has happened will be dealt with. But he says, planning against us with malicious words, berating, rebuking with evil words, perhaps lies and gossip. There are many today who have no problem whatsoever. Those who profess the name of Christ have no problem in slandering others, telling lies, gossip, to try and not only promote themselves, but to bring down others because of pride, because of jealousy, because of a great many reasons. Here was a man who did such, padding against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. He didn't receive the brethren, which many believe to be missionaries. Certainly those who were fellow believers in the work of God, to care for them. To take them in, to help them. Maybe those who were visiting. Those who were just passing through. And such were cast out of the church. There was none of the Spirit of Christ here. Notice what it says about Gaius. Verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Not just to those he knew. Not just to members of the Church of Christ, but the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And this man, Gaius, had a great testimony in that regard, but Diotrephes, no, he did not want to receive the brethren. And he attacked them. They were cast out. There was none of the Spirit of Christ. And such actions, whether it be gossip, whether it be lies, those malicious things, sowing the seeds of discontent, casting others out, causing problems in that regard, is none of the Spirit of Christ. We belong to the Lord. We are members of His church. We should aim to be like the Saviour. But here was a man seeking the preeminence, and because he wanted to be first, he resorted to attacking others to cement his position. Notice the authority that he dismissed as well. The authority that he dismissed. Verse 9 tells us something that is interesting. John says, I wrote unto the church. I wrote unto the church. And John penned a letter for the church. A letter to be read by those in authority, perhaps passed on to the ordinary member of the congregation. I wrote unto the church. And John's position was as an elder. Verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved guests. He was an apostle. He was one who had position and authority in the church, bestowed upon him by the great king and head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, this man who wanted the preeminence, receiveth us not. This letter was dismissed. It wasn't received. Many have debated as to what actually happened to this letter. Was the letter, the teaching in it, read out and rejected by such a man as Diotrephes? Did he get his hands on the letter and never presented it to the church? No one knows. But what actually took place here shows that He did not have that respect for authority. The Apostle John, one who had authority, wrote to him, wrote to the church. But such teaching, such instruction was dismissed. Many do say that he got hold of it, he shredded it. It didn't have shredders in the first century, but the equivalent, he ripped it. With his hands. That reminds me of something that happened a number of years ago. My father was preaching in his church, and he was speaking about those who tear up things, those apostate churches who tear up their confessions of faith and that state things concerning the Pope as the Antichrist and other issues, and it's as if they take these confessions and rip them up. And what he did was he actually ripped his notes on that particular occasion. But certainly perhaps something happened here. Diotrephes took these letters and he ripped them up so no one could get their hands upon them. There are those who say that perhaps such a letter contained brotherly love, something that Diotrephes knew very little about. There's just speculation. But what is not speculation is this, that he dismissed the authority of the apostle. He dismissed the teaching of God's messenger. Scriptural teaching. He had no time for it. And if we reject scriptural teaching, if we dismiss the teaching of God's messenger, then having no time for what the Word of God says, having no time to be taught or instructed or put on to the right path, if we start walking down the wrong path, then we take the step to becoming just like Diotrephes, one who wanted to be first, one who could not be corrected. Notice verse 11. John indicates that Diotrephes had a major spiritual problem. A major spiritual problem. Not much is evident We can't read this. We can't consider what has taken place here without coming to the conclusion that this man did have a spiritual problem. If he truly loved the Lord, if Christ was truly that major part of his life, then we would not be reading such things about him. He had a major spiritual problem. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And John, notice what he says. He refers to those in the church, he calls them beloved, and the children of God are beloved. The members of the Church of Christ are beloved to us. Fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Those that do evil do not know God. He sums up. He gives a summary here of what he has said so far. And verse 1 through to verse 10 can be split up. We have verse 1 to verse number 8 about Gaius, this great man of God. John having the great joy within his soul to hear that his children walk in truth. A man like Gaius. Verse 10 tell us about Diotrephes. A man who was the opposite. A man who was not good. A man who was evil. And John implies and indicates, and is right in doing so, that Diotrephes was one who was not good, one who did not know God, one who did evil. We, as the people of God, should endeavour to be more like Gaius, more like Demetrius. Demetrius, verse 12, hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Gaius and Demetrius, good men, Diotrephes was not. And John indicates there, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Here was a man who had a spiritual problem. And he was causing havoc in the church because of this spiritual problem. And pride is connected to our spirituality. If we have a true spirit of Christ within us, then pride will have no place. But if we give in to pride, it affects the relationship we have with the Lord. We'll do things for ourselves. We'll want to be seen. We will not want to glorify the God of heaven. But as we close, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Keeping in mind that particular term that is used of Diotrephes in verse 9. Who loveth to have the preeminence. Man who wanted to be first. And Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us who he is in some of the preceding verses. Verse 14 refers to us having redemption through his blood. Verse 15, he who is the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, he is the creator. Verse 17 tells us of his power. And of his eternal nature, he is before all things. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things he might be first. Connected with giving God the glory. In all things Christ should be first. In our lives, Christ should be first. In the life of the church, and in our lives as part of the church, Christ should be first. He should be primary. in all things. It was Nicholas Byfield, one of the old English preachers, who wrote a commentary upon Colossians, and he said, "The consideration of Christ's primacy and preeminence should learn us to take heed of climbing in the church. It is dangerous to desire to be chief. It is almost the sole power of the head of the church. Let it be our care, both in heart and life, to grant Christ the preeminence, which we shall do if we mind the things of Christ's kingdom more than the things of this life, if we make him our chief refuge by faith. Let it be our care, both in heart and life, to grant Christ the preeminence." And if Christ does have the preeminence, if Christ is first, then surely that guards against ourselves ever taking those steps down the road to become like Diotrephes, a man who was not concerned about Christ's preeminence, but a man who was concerned about himself. May we be blessed tonight by the word of God, and may our minds even be focused upon him who should have the preeminence. And may we ourselves have that humble spirit. May we desire to give our Saviour, our God, the preeminence in all things, which he truly deserves. We see that in how the Apostle Paul lays out Colossians chapter 1, indicating these great things about the Lord Jesus Christ, reasons why he should be first. May we, as the Church of Christ, put him first in all things. May we not be taken up with pride or the things of this world, but may he be first. And may we give him all the preeminence that he deserves as our master and as our king. May the Lord bless his word this evening for his name's sake. Amen.